going to be in 1 Samuel. Primarily the 17th chapter. A few weeks ago, I got caught up into this story of Saul and David and what was going on and how Saul was king and he lost the kingship and how David was raised up. And I've really enjoyed it. It's been a great study. I keep going back and studying more and more parts of it. Because, you know, sometimes I have a tendency, especially sitting under someone like Bishop, to kind of get tunnel vision, even with Scripture, kind of like, well, this is what it means. And, you know, and because he teaches this, I tend to get tunnel vision and forget that, you know, Scripture is like, it's a living, breathing thing that has various meanings to it at different times of our lives and for different purposes to accomplish God's will. And so this has been very refreshing for me. What I want to talk with you about is David and Goliath, which I know that's a typical Sunday school lesson that we've all learned in Sunday school, that David killed the giant and all. Well, what I saw was that in my study is that the term Philistine, or about the Philistines, is that basically the Philistines were a very heathen group, pagans. They did child sacrifice. They were just a people that were so anti-God in that time of history. And so the Israelites were told to destroy them. And they never really destroyed them. They let them hang around in bits and pieces. And the Philistines covered a large group of people, of ites. It was like all these ites, you know. And a lot of those ites were coming under that heading. So like Philistines kind of represent the world, the earth, all that's there. Because they were the dominant culture when the Jews were coming into the Promised Land. One of the things that we find out about the Philistines is in Genesis, of course, is that when Abraham left an area, and then he left and he died, and you know, and then Isaac and Jacob and all that went on, but then Isaac came back, and the Philistines had filled their wells, the wells that Abraham had died. I'm looking forward to going back and really studying that, because that doesn't even make sense. Like, why would you fill up a well of water? You know? I mean, there's nobody there. I mean, I could understand it if I got in a fight with Bill and I wanted to really hurt Bill and he had one well of water and we was living in a desert climate, I'd go fill that well to run him off. But they did it after Abraham and all of them had been gone. And it was a source of life-giving nourishment to them. And they filled it with earth. And so this is what Philistines are. And so what I want to think about just really, really quickly is, how does that apply to us in our life? You know, because what we find is as this thing goes on, is that the Israelites had great success when they went to war against these people. You know, we find different times, even in Genesis, where they just destroy large numbers of them very easily by the hand of God. But then we come to this one story, and what we have is we have the army of the Philistines, but we have this one guy named Goliath, this one giant, and he's terrorized the whole army of Israel because he stands out and calls them out to send a champion to represent Israel, to represent God. And he mocks them and challenges them day after day after day until David shows up. And then David, you know, he's going like, I don't know, David, he's going like, oh, what's going on here? Why are you allowing this Philistine dog to challenge the army of God? You know? Because, see, David had a kingdom perspective. He saw everything as God's. You know? And what had happened is this army of Saul, because they were a great fighting army, had begun to see everything from a world perspective, from the same perspective as the Philistines did. And that is because they were a great fighting army, they saw that, can we handle this or can we not handle this? And there was no one that thought they could handle this giant. Not even King Saul, which, if you read the story, King Saul was a really big guy. He wasn't a giant, but he was bigger than most anybody else in Israel. So that's one reason they chose him, that they wanted Saul. And they accepted Saul as their king because of his size. So here's a kind of where I'm at with the question is, what's the giant in your life that stopped you in your tracks, that's holding you up from fulfilling God's destiny and purposes in your life? Now, the next thing I want to, and I'm having to go through this really quickly, I could take hours with this, is how do you deal with that giant? Because it's real. Goliath was real. There was an army, an entire army behind Goliath, just waiting. And you can imagine the confidence that they had. Because the whole of Israel's army, thousands and thousands of men, were scared to death of this one man. But it was the one man. It wasn't the army. Because the Israeli army, the Jews at that time, would have attacked that army. They'd done so very well in the past, under Saul. But it was one guy. And many times in our life, that's what happens to us. It's not the whole that we're afraid of. But there's something comes up, that rises up, that terrorizes us, and stops us from the purposes of God. And it's usually because we've lost sight of Christ and who God is. And so David, we have this story of David, that he comes and he says, well, I can take care of this giant. That's not a, you know, that's not a big deal. I've fought lions and tigers and bears and for sheep. And he said, you know, but David was always quick to say, well, I can do this, but it's the Lord God. He's always quick to always include that it was God's hand that he could do these things. And so when he challenged Goliath, that's what he said, the Lord God will deliver you into my hands. But the thing that is intriguing me right now that I'm looking at and studying more and more is the fact that when David went out after trying on the normal armor of God type thing of Ephesians, Saul said, take my armor. So David tried this whole armor thing and discovered that David was a little bitty guy. He said he was a youth. He wasn't even a grown man. He was a little guy. So all this armor was just more than he could deal with. He couldn't move around. He couldn't get around. And so David took all the armor off and left. But he did do two amazing things. It says that he took up his staff, a shepherd's staff. We know from Scripture that a staff represents power and authority. So David knew that he had to walk in power and authority of God. So he took up that staff. And then he stopped at a brook and picked up five stones. It's interesting to note that he picked up five smooth stones. It only took one to kill Goliath. And reading and looking at this, there's all kinds of these speculations about why he did five stones, because Goliath had four brothers, all this other stuff. Now, I think if you look at that and study it, it was an understanding that David had, is that you had to have the whole package. You can't fight giants with one thing. And so these five smooth stones represents that entire package. Couple thoughts, and then I got to end this quickly, unfortunately, is that how does stones become smooth? They're in water. Running, living water that flows over them for sometimes decades and centuries even, until they're very smooth. And you can go find stones like that around streams that flow. And they're very smooth, very slick. They're great for slings. and for other things. We use them. You see them a lot decorative being used. But the things of God are not instant. God's dealing is in time with us. Sometimes He does instant stuff, but overall, it takes time. It takes the washing of the water of the Word, of the Holy Spirit, to smooth us out and get us to where we want to be, where He intends for us to be. We'll just look really quick, unfortunately, at these five smooth stones. And looking at what some other people said and then praying and thinking about it myself as to how it makes sense to me. The first stone David picked up that he realized that he had to have was a stone of prayer. See, without prayer, you get nowhere with God. You may have an encounter with God, become saved, but then you're just sitting on the riverbank, not being washed. Nothing happens without prayer. So you have to have a life of prayer as a foundation. It's interesting to note that incense, we use incense, that incense represents prayers. It says that the prayers of the people go up before God in Revelations and stuff. In the Old Testament, incense was composed of how many parts? Five. The second thing, stone, was perhaps intimacy with God. That intimate relationship with Him. And that's represented in the Psalms. When you spend time in the Psalms, they will draw you into an intimate relationship with God, whether you want it to or not. Because the Psalms was the prayer book of the Bible and of all the first Christians. The first monastic Christians, the ones that went and lived in the desert, recited the Psalms every day. 150 Psalms every day. The Psalms are divided by how many divisions? Five. You have to understand authority and know the authority of God. An authority in the Bible is represented by oil, by the anointing oil. David was anointed to be king. Saul was anointed to be king. Guess how many ingredients Old Testament oil had? It was five. So having these three things here, represented by three of the stones, we come to start beginning to know God's ways. And that's represented to us in the first five books of the Bible. It's called the books of Moses or the Torah by the Jews, which is their holy books. It's the Torah. Like the Gospels are ours, most holy scripture. So it's in the reading and understanding what God's done as a part of all of this. You have to know God. You have to know what He's done, what He's capable of. And in those five books, it teaches us all of that. And the fifth stone was understanding and knowing the sufficiency of God. Again, represented by those first five books. That's the first story of those first five books. Is who God is and His total sufficiency for His people. So you have to have all of these things. And if you live a life of prayer, intimacy, understanding God's authority and walking under His authority, under the authority that God places on you, in obedience, knowing God's ways, how He deals with people, reading and seeing and paying attention to what He says, not coming up with your own stuff, not assuming, making assumptions, but knowing how does God deal with His people when you're being washed by that water and being dealt with in ways you don't like. Because it's smoothing off those rough edges. And you understand the total sufficiency of God, that there is absolutely nothing that God is not sufficient for. That you can totally trust Him, put everything into His hands for total sufficiency. Once you have those, you know, it's interesting to me to note that David, it says that David reached into his pouch of five smooth stones. Which one do you think he took out? Doesn't tell us. Because you see, it doesn't matter if you've got the whole package, then you can sometimes you can just whip that giant with just simple prayer. Sometimes you've got to whip him by walking in authority, being in authority, and commanding and rebuking and declaring and decreeing. Sometimes it's just resting in sufficiency and laughing at the giant. It's not about the stones. It's about the relationship that the stones represent. The fullness of God that is only in Christ Himself. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.